we've been going through this series, and when he is silent, it's our responsibility to remain faithful, to continue to do the last thing that he has spoken to us, to continue to do what is right. And I just want to remind you, there was 430 years from the day that God spoke to Malachi until he spoke about the birth of Jesus Christ. So 430 years of God not really saying anything, but yet the people of God continued to remain faithful to the things that God had told them to do, which is awesome. And so the principle that we can glean from that is, whatever God told you to do the last time, keep doing it until he tells you to do something different. Amen? And you'll have great success, because it's awesome to obey him. Now, think about the generations that passed on the truth of a Messiah coming, and yet he wasn't there. So from Malachi, the Old Testament, when God didn't say anything, those generations, 430 years where God didn't say, and yet they kept preparing for a Messiah, because the Messiah hadn't come yet, and yet they remained faithful. They continued to prepare for Jesus. It was taught to Mary and Joseph, because when the angel of the Lord came to them, came to Mary first, and she said, okay, be it done according to your word. With Joseph, and the angel of the Lord came and spoke to him in a dream and stuff, and so he obeyed. But they were prepared because they knew that a Messiah was coming, and guess what happened? Now's the time. 430 years of silence, and now God's speaking, and they were willing to obey. Isn't that awesome? So I just want to encourage us. That's what God is calling us to do as well. Because there were people that remained faithful before Mary and Joseph. And then, as I've shared, after them, there's another generation. There's years of people that are remaining faithful until he comes again, because he is going to come again. And so our responsibility is to stay faithful, do what is right in God's eyes. Those that were faithful, we are blessed because of their faithfulness. And guess what? There are going to be people that are blessed because of our faithfulness in walking with Jesus. Now, we don't understand all of that, but it's going to happen. And I just want to remind you that three out of the five that God used, as we've read in the past here, Mary, Joseph, and Simeon, they had no position in the church. They were just ordinary people. So I want to encourage you, be ready. Be ready to do what God has called you to do. Be faithful in doing what God has called you to do, and then he'll take care of the rest. Now, in looking at that, I want to remind you about Hebrews 11, 13, and you can turn to Hebrews 11, because we're going to look at this one more time, and then Hebrews 12. And last week, I felt like I was cleaning out a wound, because it was hard last week to share what I had to share. So we'll just review it now, and then we're going to go on to putting some cream on it and some salve on it, and maybe put a Band-Aid over it. All right? But I just want to remind you of it, because in our humanness, there's things that happen that we don't understand, and it's easy for us to get off track. But we can stay faithful, and that's what God has called us to. So I want to read out of Hebrews 11, 13 first, and it says, and he's talking about, you know, by faith, all of these people. He's at verse 13, and he says this: these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. And so, if they're going to die in faith, that means that they had to live in faith as well. And yet, it says that they didn't receive the promise, because why? Because it's coming with us. It's coming when Jesus came. Hebrews 11:32, jump down there, please. Verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Ooh, how awesome. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Doesn't sound like a great life, does it? And yet they did all this by faith. They did this because they were faithful to God. They remained faithful to him. Verse 39. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Woo. That means something good is coming. Verse 40. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And then right in from that, he goes into the great cloud of witnesses that we have. Isn't that awesome? Which is all of those that we, you know, in Hebrews chapter 11. They went through some really tough times, some very difficult circumstances. Wouldn't you say that? The likes of which we haven't had it yet. Some of you have think you've suffered a long time and we haven't experienced what they did. But what we need to see is what they went through wasn't just about them. It wasn't just for them. They were faithful to God. God was faithful to them. But it's also about us as well. God was working in them, but he was also working things out for us as well. And the same is true for us. When we're going through trials, when we're going through difficult times, it's not just about us. God will see us through them. There's no doubt about that. But it's not just about us. It's about those who are going to come after us, those who are going to follow after us, maybe even those who don't know Jesus yet, but they're going to watch you. They're going to watch how you make it through things, and they're going to say, I need to have what you have. So it's not just about us. The problem is when we're going through things, we always think it's about us. And so in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews tells us how to handle the difficult times that are going to come our way. And they will come our way. There's no doubt about it. But they also clarify what is difficult. And we touched on this last week, but just to remind you, where you're sitting is not your seat. You know, we come to church. I mean, there's people who get bent out of shape because somebody's sitting in their seat. And I share with you how, you know, people get it if you don't acknowledge them just right. Let's just go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we need endurance if we're going to run with endurance, right? You need to have practice, right? Woo! All right. Verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners. Ah. Oh. Isn't that terrible? He's enduring from sinners, and we have a hard time enduring with believers. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. He chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. You see, God has a purpose. He's got a reason for the difficulties that we go through. And it's that we would come to the place that we would be able to share in his holiness. Now, here's one of the struggles that we believers have. We want everything instantaneous. We want everything to happen yesterday. If it didn't happen right now, then we want it to have happened yesterday. And God is not like that. There's a process that we have to go through. And as we go through that process, guess what? He begins to change our minds, our attitudes, our thoughts. He begins to change how we see life, the perspective of how things are. And then we begin to share in his holiness. We become more and more like him. Whereas if we don't go through those things, we're not going to become like him. And if we don't go through them right, we're not going to become like him. You know, one of the biggest questions that I have when people have gone through struggles is, here's the number one question: where was God? Where was God? The second question is, why didn't he stop this? Can you imagine if you were one of those in Hebrews chapter 11 that the writer didn't have everything to say? Think about all that they went through. Do you think for a moment they thought, God, where are you? In their humanity, they may have, because we're human. We're going to have those thoughts. But we don't have to rest there. And thank God they didn't camp there either. They kept believing for something greater. And we can as well. God, why didn't you stop this? I mean, it's amazing to me. And, you know, they were sawn in two. And you can hear people say, well, where was God in all of that? He was silent. But he was doing a greater work. They had a great reward. Verse 11. For the moment. Everybody say, for the moment. If we could just get that. When we're going through hard times, if we could just get for the moment. For the moment, some discipline. For the moment, a little bit of the discipline. No, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. And make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. So whatever we have faced, whatever difficulties we have gone through, whatever loss we have suffered, whatever pain we have had to endure, they are real. I'm not saying they're not real. They are real. But I want us to understand, it's not just about us. It's also about those who will follow after us. It's about the process of becoming more and more like Jesus as we trust him. If you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. All right, here comes the solve. Here comes the soothing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. No matter what we have suffered, no matter what our struggle is, whether it be fear, addiction, some kind of stronghold in our life, whatever it is, here's what it's all about. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Here's the key, though, verse 4. God comforts us in our trials so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. We go through trials, God is silent. While we go through them, we make it. And then guess what happens? We get to pass that comfort on to others. During our trials, during our difficulties, during the time when God sets us free from whatever bondage that we have, that we thought we couldn't live without, and then all of a sudden we come to our right mind, we give it up, and God begins to comfort us. And then he allows us to comfort others. We have the ability, because we've been comforted, we have the ability to encourage others that they will make it too. So our troubles, our trials are not just about us. They are about us and they are for us, but they're also for those who will follow after us, so that we can be able to say to them, if I made it, you can make it too. Cheer up. Now, you don't have to say the cheer up right away. You can wait a little bit on that. But you can tell them, you know what? If I made it through this, you can make it through this. If God saw me through this, I want you to know God's going to see you through this as well. There's something about when we've gone through it and we've been able to draw close to God, then we can pass this on to others. Let me read this out of the verses 3 and 4 out of the Passion Translation. I don't know if you've heard about the Passion Translation, but if you haven't, get it. It's just New Testament right now in Psalms and Proverbs, but here it is. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4 out of the Passion Translation. All praises belong to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the Father of tender mercy and the God of endless comfort. Ooh. He always comes alongside us to comfort us in every suffering so that we can come alongside those who are in any painful trial. We can bring them the same comfort that God has poured out upon us. Isn't that awesome? Wow. You know, I just want to encourage you. We try to be multitaskers, and most of us aren't very good at that. But I want you to know, God is awesome at multitasking. He is the master of it. And I'm glad he's the one that has to do it, not me. I have a hard enough time just dealing with me versus anything else. But think about this. He's working in us during our trials, but it's not just for us. It's for others who are going to come after us. He's working in us, getting us through our trials so that we can, down the road, comfort others. with the same comfort that God has comforted us. And in this process, I just want to throw in this scripture because it's just one of my favorites. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who in Christ sometimes leads us to victory. Always leads us in triumphal procession. And through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. So whatever difficulty we face or have faced, whatever pain we have suffered or are suffering, it is real. And I don't want to try and think that I'm dismissing it and making light of it. But I want us to understand it's not just about us. It's about helping others. It's about comforting them with the same comfort that we have received. And here's the sticky point. But if you get this, you will enjoy the rest of your life. I promise you. But here's the sticky point. If we don't allow God to comfort us, if we don't receive of His comfort for us, then we have nothing to pass on to others. If we stay stuck in our troubles, in our difficulties, in our fears, in whatever addiction you may have, if you stay in that and you are not comforted by God, you are not set free from that, you have nothing to offer to anybody else. And trust me, I know plenty of Christians, and before I say this, it's a process too. It doesn't happen overnight. We don't get through our troubles overnight. Think about forgiveness. If forgiveness was so easy, we would all do it, right? It's not an easy thing to do, but it is possible. You just have to stick with it. Second Corinthians 1:4, I just want to read it again. Who comforts us in all our affliction, not some of them, but all of them, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, so it doesn't have to be the same as ours, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. We all have fears that we need to overcome. If we'll let Him get us through that and comfort us through that, then we can go and we can find others who are fearful, and it doesn't matter what their fear is, and we can bring comfort to them. We can encourage them. We can say, you know what? The best days of your life lie ahead if you'll step out of your fear. How do I know that? Because I did that. If you have an addiction, finding healing and strength, if you'll allow God to come in and do that for you and comfort you, then you can give it to others who have an addiction. It doesn't matter what their addiction is. You can help them out. You can bring comfort to them. You can bring a release to them. I shared last week how we like our comfort zone. And so our comfort zone is not the same comfort as God's. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that if you will dare to step out of your comfort zone into His comfort, then we can be set free and we will have something that we can give to somebody else. You know, our comfort zone is set to protect us and to keep us safe. God's comfort is to set us free. You see, if we step out of our comfort zone and we learn the comfort that God has, then we can teach that to others. I mentioned forgiveness. What if we're stuck in unforgiveness and then all the other junk that comes, the bitterness and the anger and everything else that comes with it? If we stay there, we can't help others be free. But when we step out, when we let go of our unforgiveness and the bitterness and everything else that comes with it, and we embrace God's comfort, and we become free from our bondage, then we can teach others how to do that as well. Stand with me, if you will, please. The best life that we will ever live is the life comforted by God. In His comfort zone, not ours. And I promise you, if you will allow God to bring healing and comfort to you during your test, your trial, your difficulty, your release of strongholds, whatever it is, I promise you, if you will do that, God will set you so free. And then here's what He'll do. God will begin to send people your way. He'll begin to mix your path with other people who need the comfort and the healing that you receive. They're going to need it, and God's going to say, okay, give it away. Give it away. Comfort them with the same comfort that I have comforted you. Isn't that awesome? God is such a great God. He sets us free, and then He says, now, go and free somebody else. You don't even have to go looking for them. They'll just make their way to you. So be comforted, and then be comfort to someone else. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for this day and the love that You have for us. And Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the truth of Your word. And Father, I pray that we would be a people, when we go through trials, when we're trying to become free and we have to step out by faith, Father, I pray that we do it. And I pray that as we seek after You, that the comfort that You give us, that You have comforted us with, Father, I pray that as we understand that, then we will be able to give that away to others. Make us such a people, Father, who are comforted by You, so that we can comfort others with the same comfort You have comforted us. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. Go have a great week. Be comforted.